Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring. This is another episode of me talking about the weird and funnier and lighter side of Canadian politics to entertain Jesse.
That's my job, is to be entertained. I wake up and I listen to this amazing stuff, and that's my full job. It'd be cool if I got paid, but that's not happening.
And I'm sad.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a subject. Jesse, have you ever competed in the Olympics?
You know I have.
Have you?
No. You're like, what? What?
I don't know you that well. I've only known you like 2 years.
No, I have not competed in the Olympics.
Recently. Have you ever been to an Olympics?
I have. I actually edited the Special Olympics in Alberta this past winter.
Okay, so have you ever heard of the 1976 Montreal Games?
Have I heard of them? I mean, I
don't know anything about them
at
all.
Not a thing.
So this episode is called Montreal's Olympic Hangover.
I like it already.
So on the 12th of May, 1970, the International Olympic Committee awarded Montreal the games above Moscow and LA. So Montreal won it over those two international locations. And this was because 1967, they'd had one of the world's most successful world fairs ever. And also the new baseball team, the Expos, had started playing in Montreal in 1969, and they were doing really well. So Montreal was kind of rising in the world as this kind of city where things were happening. So the mayor, Jean Draper, he basically was the driving force behind Montreal getting the Olympics. He was a kind of very charismatic, very, very driven man. Right. And he sold it to the public saying the Olympics can no more run a deficit than a man can have a baby.
What?
Which, seriously, he was just saying, it'll be on budget. It's impossible to go over budget when preparing for the Olympics.
Okay.
So
I feel like this is a bit of foreshadowing here, Reese.
Yeah. So they had six years to prepare for the Olympics.
Okay.
And they were sold as being modest, and the estimate was that it would cost 120 million Canadian dollars, and $71 million of that was budgeted for the stadium. But it started to go
just to rent the stadium. What?
No, just to build the stadium.
To build it. Oh, they didn't have. Okay, I got you. Right.
To build an Olympic stadium. Okay. So, but the mayor, bearing in mind the mayor was just the local politician who was going to be in the city hosting it, decided to take a personal hand in designing the stadium.
Oh no! Oh no!
So you kind of know, you know, this story is not going to go well.
This is the twist. All right, I'm in. I'm exactly. in. So, I was just like, just because of the title of like the hangover aspect, I was just picturing that most of the budget went to booze and then hilarity ensued. But no, this my ears have perked up and I'm listening. I'm ready for this. Tell me more.
The International Olympic Committee technical director said, "I found Draper persistent to the point of aggressive. Once he was locked onto an idea or a project, you needed a crowbar to lever his mind from the goal." So this is the person who was in charge of everything. So he hired a French architect called Roger Talibot. I think it's just Roger, but I just said it in a French accent.
Good. That was good. That was well done.
Roger. So they decided that the stadium would feature an enormous inclined tower.
A what?
Enormous inclined tower, the tallest structure of its kind in the world, holding a retractable roof suspended from thick cables. So the stadium they came up with was not a modest, like, low-budget stadium. It was the tallest structure of its kind in the world, and it was just this big beast with a big, giant, retractable roof. And I think the idea was the retractable roof was you could open it in the summer and close it in the winter because of the snow.
Do you have a photo of this to show me?
I don't have a photo, but you should Google the stadium. It was the Olympic Stadium in Montreal.
Oh, I've seen, yeah, that giant weird thing. Yeah. No, that's.
Can you describe to the listeners what it looks like?
Right. Yes. No. I can't. I mean, it looks like. Oh my God. No. Okay. It looks like for you Star Trek fans, like the USS Enterprise flipped upside down and without its warp boosters, like they've just been removed. There you go.
He was kind of very relaxed managing the construction sites, and there were lots of delays, and people started striking because it was just so poorly managed. And in between 1974 and 1976, of the 530 potential working days, they were on strike for 155 of those days.
What?
So the deadline was looming and construction was really far behind.
Why were they on strike?
They just fallings out with the way that it was being managed and how they were being paid.
I feel like we're glossing over what could be a really juicy bit of information here. 155 strike days?
I think what happened was the project was very ambitious, and they were trying to squeeze as much money out of people as possible. So imagine they just were unhappy with the terms that they were being offered, to the point where they just ended up having to strike in order to get better terms. But I guess as well, the unions probably knew that there was a hard deadline for this, so that they had leverage to get better terms from the government, because if they didn't,
it's 6 years.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that's still a long time to build a giant stadium,
I guess,
with a roof that can open and close. But the that was just one of the many problems. So the contractor, which had been awarded $6.9 million in Olympic construction contracts, built a luxurious chalet costing $163,000 for Draper's right-hand man and head of Montreal City Council's executive committee. So there was a lot of corruption going on. They were just building themselves nice apartments in the city.
Oh my God. Right. Okay.
And the architect, Roger Talibert, he basically said...
Say it again. Say it correctly.
Roger Talibert.
There you go.
In 2011, he was quoted saying, "The construction of the Olympic Park and Stadium showed me a level of organized corruption, theft, mediocrity, sabotage, and indifference that I have never witnessed before and have never witnessed since. The system..."
Just of the parking lot alone.
"The system failed completely, and every civil engineering firm involved knew they could just open this veritable cash register and serve themselves." So it wasn't going very well. Oh, wow. Do you know what? There is a lot of money in the Olympics, because when the Olympics came to the UK and they were in London, was it 2012? The Olympic torch went around the country, and I was booked as a camera operator to film the torch go through the town I live nearby called Caerphilly. And I was, there's a castle right in the center of the town, and I was there to film the torch pass in front and go up through the drawbridge into the castle. The one thing that blew my mind was, I was stood there with a camera. I got there really early in the morning and I got this prime position. And then they were like, "Hey, the parade's coming." And what happened was you had like an hour of these buses coming through, and it was like, "Yeah, Team Samsung." And they were like handing out key rings, and then "Team Coca-Cola, Team Hyundai." And it was all of the corporate sponsors. And it was just this procession of like people in like branded t-shirts, handed out free bottles of Coke and all this kind of stuff. And then right at the end was just one guy with a torch. And it really soured my opinion of the Olympics, because I thought that would have been at the front,
right? Yeah.
So rather than like all the sponsors and now the reason we're all here, it would be the reason we're all here and in support of all these people who helped make it happen. So so there is a lot of money in the Olympics, and I could see that they wanted to kind of
exploit it as much as possible. Yeah, that's,
like I mean, yeah, it makes sense. So in May 1975, 1 year before the Olympics, the construction was already behind and the unions walked out, and they did not return to work until October.
Oh my God.
9 months before the opening ceremony.
Oh my God.
The provincial government removed the mayor from the project. They removed the architect, and they basically, the provincial government tried to take over getting handle on the construction, and the bill had tripled to $310 million.
Oh my God.
And then, so they basically had this big race to get it constructed. And they realized that the design was so grand that it could not be executed in the way they planned it to. So they didn't bother with a retractable roof. They just gave up.
Right.
On
so
it.
That giant thing does nothing. That giant spire into the sky. It's just for looks. It's for shits and giggles. It doesn't do a thing.
Do you know what I would do? I put a diving board on there and fill the stadium with water. Because it kind of leans over the top. So
people would be dying.
So
it's the suicide drop. Oh my God, that'd be horrifying.
In the final scrambling, months before the games, 3,000 laborers had worked in teams 24 hours a day to make it possible for the Olympics to begin. And they only just they only just succeeded. So apparently, out of sight...
So hold on. Just to backtrack a little bit. So 150 strike days, unions who just full on quit and wouldn't return for months, all because money was being allocated to building penthouses and chalets and the money was not being paid out to the people actually building the thing.
Yeah, it was leaking money, but in all the wrong places.
Right. leaking in all the wrong places. Now on CBS. Yes.
So anyway, the out of sight of the cameras and everything, basically was still clearing up all the debris from the construction. And when Queen Elizabeth and Canadian Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau turned up, they were almost blocked by construction workers trying to finish things for the opening ceremony. And then the games, when the games opened, the security bill was way more than they expected it to be, because there'd been some terrorist attacks and some of the stuff had happened. So they ended up having to, they went overkill on security.
Right.
And it was the first time, sadly for Canada, after all this effort, it was the first time a host nation failed to win a gold medal.
Oh my God.
Which was pretty bad. And then the final tally of the Olympics at the end.
So we spent 300 and how many million dollars? So
the final tally at the end for the cost of the Olympics was $1.6 billion, 13 times the cost, and the stadium was $1.1 billion of that.
$1.6 billion to let another country win gold in our in Montreal. Yeah. Okay, that's
I love it.
I honestly love it. Like, good for whoever won. Honestly,
that's. So the city of Montreal was in terrible debt, and they finally paid it off in November 2006.
Oh my God.
So it took 30 years to pay the debt off, and apparently it meant they couldn't spend a lot of money on urban development and infrastructure for roughly three decades.
Oh my God. So what is the stadium still being used to this day?
It is. So it's not all bad. There's some good news. So
okay.
The one of the sports centers in the north end of the city is still used by thousands of athletes and is still like a really good facility. The Velodrome was converted into a biodome and is a really popular indoor nature museum. Mm. And they also did a big inquiry into what went wrong, and they had a 908-page report in 1980 that blamed the mayor, which is good. But even though it was all his fault, or they implied it was his fault because he let people get away with the corruption, he was in power for another decade after this.
What?
And he didn't retire.
Well, as we've talked about in previous episodes, it's really hard to get rid of a mayor.
And he didn't retire until 1986 because of ill health.
Yeah, so apparently, like, the only way to get rid of a mayor is if they get sick or die in Canada. That's it.
So top officials and contractors were convicted of fraud and corruption. They had like a $75,000 fine. Somebody else had a $100,000 fine. Some even went,
oh, that's fine. They'll just take it out of their mattress for the millions that they stole. Yeah.
And some of them had jail time, but they all served one day in jail, which to me sounds more like a weird tour almost.
Yeah. So like, come find out what it's like to live in jail for a day.
Happy birthday, Dad. You get to see what it's like being in jail for the day. Wow. How much did it cost? Right,
like, I would do that. That just sounds neat.
How much did it cost?
You know, like
$100,000, but we get to live in this sweet apartment in Montreal.
Like, I would do that. My friend's like, okay, well, for your birthday, you get to experience what jail's like for a day. I'm like, that sounds like a neat experience. Let's do it. It's only a day. It's like,
that's not even the night, just the day.
Just the day.
You wouldn't, if you thought about it and planned, you wouldn't even have to use the toilet there or shower. You could just go, well, if I have a shower before I go and I go to the toilet, I won't have to go anywhere near that area. I could just play cards.
And if you're planning on going to the gym and making some food, then you just get to do that there anyway. Well, so, you know.
Well, I filled up before I went. Right. And I had a drive through on the way home at the end. So I don't know.
One day in jail.
You've been to prison. What's the food like?
I haven't been to prison.
No idea. Even the guy who was brought in by the Olympic Committee to stop the money bleeding out in dodgy ways was found guilty of a breach of trust and accepted gifts and was ordered to pay $31,000 back.
Wow.
So it was
just this giant, huge corruption, like everywhere you looked.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
So, which you wouldn't expect, I never expected that for a Canadian city, but it just goes to show that, like, when there's a lot of money being pumped into a place, there's a lot of opportunists.
Oh my God, so much. It's.
So, anyway, did you enjoy the story of Montreal's Olympic hangover?
Why is it called a hangover, though?
Well, because it lasted 30 years after the Olympics.
Oh, so it's like a metaphorical hangover, not an actual. Like a financial hangover.
Yeah, a financial hangover that lasted the lifetime of some humans.
Right. Right. Yeah. I've seen pictures of that stadium. I've always wondered what that weird giant spire going into the sky was for. It seems really out of place.
Well,
yeah. If you want to see that photo, go to our incomplete website where you probably won't see it.
We may or may not be there.
CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com. 50-50 chance that that photo will be there for you to see.
Well, thank you so much for listening, everyone. And I'm going to go away and not work on the website.
Right. Me too, because I don't have access.
you can find us on all the social medias. The one where you take pictures, the one where you just type text and words with 140 characters, yep. Even the one that is controlled by Lex Luthor. Those are Facebook. All of them. We're on all of them.
We don't do Facebook.
We have a page, but we don't really post on
it. We have a page. We don't use it. Anyway. Thanks so much for putting us in your ear holes. If you want to give back, leave us a review. Go to Apple Podcasts and just type in something fun. Funnier the better. We read them all and we laugh at the funny ones.
Cool.
Because if they're funny, we'll laugh. That's just what we do. I'm going to stop talking about that now.
See you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.